Thanks for listening to the Doug Gottlieb Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday, 3 to 6 Eastern, 12 to 3 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Doug Gottlieb Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
What up with you? Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. Man, have yourself a great day. Go in and supersize that bad boy. Get the extra cup of coffee. Yeah, go. Get splurge. It's a holiday season. You're supposed to be feeling good. All right? Things are going bad. That's okay. Things are going to be going good. 22 is around the corner. We're here with you. Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio. We've talked a lot about Brian Kelly. We've talked a little bit about Lincoln Riley. You haven't talked a ton about what happens at Oklahoma. But we haven't done a bunch on the National Football League, and there's a lot still going on. We're past the midway point, and some of the teams we thought would be really good are not. Some of the teams we thought were going to be are very good. There's a lot to get to. Daniel Jeremiah, of course, works for the NFL Network. He's the analyst on radio for the LA Chargers, and he also has Move the Sticks, a podcast which is on the NFL Network. With Bucky Brooks, you can download that one. It's very, very good. He joins us now on the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio. DJ, if I were to tell you 12 games into a 17-game season, the biggest surprise, can be positive, can be negative, in the NFL is what or who?
I think it would be the Patriots right back to the top of the AFC would be probably my biggest shock.
Bigger than the Bengals?
Yeah, I think bigger than the Bengals just because I'm a big Joe Burrow guy, and Joe Burrow kind of entered the league with a different level of expectation than what Mac entered the league with. And, you know, you figure just they had picked up there high enough, and, you start accumulating enough of the Jamar Chases who they bring in, the Joe Mixons. Like, they had dudes. The Patriots was like a full reboot with all the guys they brought in free agency and then the reliance on a rookie quarterback. You told me at that point in time the Bengals would be in a playoff mix. I wouldn't have been totally shocked. You told me that the Patriots would be, arguably the best team in the whole conference this quick. I would have said no way.
So how have they done it?
Well, I think that they have so much continuity between Bill and McDaniels and kind of what they're doing on the personnel side. They know exactly what they need and what works for them. They know how to implement it, and they get the most out of their players. So, last year I think they've kind of referred to it as kind of a roster reset. They kind of reset the cap. They were ultra-aggressive in free agency more than they ever have been. For the most part, they hit on dudes. You know, they've got a couple tight ends. Hunter Henry's been, a very reliable player, especially down in the red zone. You look at Judon, who's been awesome on defense. They've got their types of guys, and it's just like, oh, yeah, this formula that they've been using, that Bill Belichick's been using going back to the 90s, it still works.
On the other end of the spectrum, there's the Steelers. And I know that you called the Charger game, and what happened with the Charger game was the Chargers made so many blunders there late in the game that they had to squeak away. But I'm big on this. Like, if you watch the whole game, the Chargers were two touchdowns better than the Steelers.
Yeah, shouldn't have been close.
And if you take that game out, there've been several games which haven't been close of late. Obviously, they're going to have to address the Big Ben thing. My guess is that he's done after this year. But what about the rest of this team? Is it simply Big Ben's not good enough, or is there something else that's amiss with the Steelers?
Well, the hard thing was that the game that I saw in person, they didn't have Watt, they didn't have Fitzpatrick. I do think those, those are two big-time premier guys. So they have some premier players. I don't think the offensive line is very good. I know they're young. Ben, I would say, is probably the biggest problem at this point in time just because he's nowhere near what he was, and it's just not a lot of life or a lot of juice in the arm. So that'll help, I think, but I don't know where that upgrade's coming from. Like, they're going to be picking in no man's land. It's not a great quarterback draft. I mean, I don't know if they're going to have the capital to be able to, the draft capital to go out and get one of these veterans that could pop in the trade market. So I don't know really what the answer is there. But, I think they've got some good pieces. I would just say the quarterback and the offensive line would be my two biggest holes at this point in time.
Agree with you. I would I would guess that you're going to have to, this could be the year where we see a big free agency market, right? In with quarterbacks. When you watch Russell Wilson play on Monday, obviously there's a lot going on there. But what about Russell himself? He's not playing well. How much of that is on Russell himself?
Well, I think he's got to take a lot of that. But I mean, I also think, and I'd love to get your thoughts on this, especially as it pertains to other sports. Like, we love to say, you know, from the media side and even from the fan side of, you know what, we have so much admiration and respect for these guys that play injured and play hurt and, you know, all this kind of stuff. We're like, no, you don't. As soon as the guy doesn't play well, you're not going to even, you know, most people aren't even going to talk about the fact that the guy's jacked up. You know, Baker Mayfield looks terrible. He's got 9 injuries he's dealing with. You don't get rewarded for it. You don't. Like, your performance is your performance. And to me, I watch Russell, and some of that's just some of the hesitancy he's playing with. I just don't think the guy's healthy. He doesn't look comfortable out there at all. Didn't look like himself.
Okay, so if you had to fix the Seahawks, obviously you want to get him comfortable. Do you make a change, coaching change? Do you consider moving him? Because, again, like, a lot of people are like, well, if you get 3 first-round picks, like, it's not the same quarterback draft. And trying to find a guy when you have a Hall of Famer, you have a Hall of Famer on a contract. Why would you, for draft picks, that doesn't make sense. What would you do if you're running Seattle?
Well, I think you got kind of 2 options, right? I think it's a reboot and it's a reset. And it's either we're taking this thing all the way down to the studs and Russell's going to be part of that. He's gone. Or it's, you know, I think having a conversation with him and saying, look, you're 33. Look at how well Brady's playing right now, well into his 40s. Like, you have a lot left, but you're going to have to be patient with us for the, you know, at least a year, maybe 2 years before we can rebuild this whole thing around you. So we're going to make some changes. We're going to dump some roster. We're probably going to have a new coach. And we're probably going to suck for the next year, maybe 2 years. But you're going to be the centerpiece of the rebuild and probably give him a new contract as part of that. And get him on board, because I just don't see them being anywhere, you know, close to championship caliber right now. And it's a teardown. So it's either a teardown with him going, or it's a teardown with him staying. And you got to have that conversation with him to see if he's up for it.
Why are the Chargers better?
You know what, Doug? It's like last week's game was so weird. I know when you kind of, if you were looking at the score, you'd say, okay, this is kind of like the Ravens game. And it's like, nah, the Ravens game, they couldn't do anything. In this game, they moved the ball up and down the field. They had 4 possessions and inside the 37-yard line with no points. So, you know, you miss field goal, you don't get it on downs, and then you get 2 picks, including one's a pick 6. I thought Herbert started to, you know, to press a little bit. The protection was not good. You know, Matt Filer not playing in that game meant that they were down really kind of 3 of their original starting offensive linemen. And what had been a much better unit up front this year had a rough one in that one. So they got beat up there. And then defensively, they didn't tackle well. You know, Javonte Williams is a runner. Like, you know, you better bring a friend. Like, that dude's freaking strong and physical and tough. And they did not meet that and match that. So those are the 2 big things to me, just kind of finishing drives and tackling were the 2 biggies. But, man, it you know, at some point in time, it's like the dam breaks when you have the injuries on the offensive line. And they were able to overcome Bulaga. They've been able to kind of overcome that. Ibushi, okay, you know, hanging in there. And I think Filer, that was just kind of where the dam broke when he was out.
It's Doug Gottlieb show here on Fox Sports Radio. Okay, same question for the Cowboys, right? Cowboys, 3 of the last 4 games, they have not played well. I understand that you don't have your 2 top wide receivers last time out. Yeah. They've had injuries, but there is something too, like, and maybe this is comparing incomparables. Green Bay went in without their wide receivers and they beat Arizona. Why are the Cowboys so inept recently?
Well, I give the Packers a lot of credit. I give them credit on TV the other day because some of it almost, I think, you know, Doug, is like mindset with this. You know, everybody's missing guys, right? And I don't want to minimize it. I mean, you miss Amari Cooper and you miss CeeDee Lamb. Like, that's kind of your offense. Like, that's a huge chunk of it, not to mention some of the offensive line stuff they've dealt with. But I always feel like we're talking about that with them. I feel like they're talking about that with the injuries. The Packers didn't say boo. Like, it was just like they just kind of showed up. No Jair Alexander, no receivers. You know, all the injuries that they've had, Bakhtiari, who cares? Like, they don't even talk about it, and just kind of go out there and make it happen. So, I don't know. The Cowboys are a weird – they're a weird one. I do think if they can get healthy and get all their guys back by, you know, by the stretch run, the division's, you know, so lousy that I think they can afford the time to figure all this stuff out. But if they're fully healthy, I think they're very capable of making a deep run once you get to the end of the season.
Stug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. Winners do win. And you've been a part of the Baltimore Ravens organization, so you understand, like, they just – it's a great culture of winning. It's why they want to win preseason games. Yep. They want to win everything. But, like, I mean, Lamar was bad the other night. And they've had all the Lions game they escaped. The Colts, they had this – Lamar had to be maybe had the greatest second-half performance we've ever seen him have to come back in that Colts game. And some of these are, like, not elite teams. I think the Colts are pretty good, but the Lions are not. Some of the other teams, they just survive. And now they play a tougher part of their schedule. How good are the Ravens? And I know you saw them kick the crap out of the Chargers. They were great that day. But how good are they really? Yeah.
Well, I just think they're, you know, it's kind of a styles make fights. I don't believe in their secondary. I don't think they're very good there. For some reason, the Chargers weren't able to take advantage of that. But most of the good passing teams have been able to. And then, you know, you kind of look at the, you've got these – the Browns play them back-to-back games, right? Well, with Baker Mayfield dinged up and their passing game kind of being non-existent, the Browns kind of, they like to play bully ball and go beat you up, and that's their formula. Well, the Ravens, they'll play that brand of football anytime you want. You're not bullying those guys. And so, to me, it's just kind of a styles make fights. So, if they get in the playoffs and they played, you know, the Titans and the Patriots, like, I don't know that I'd bet against them. But they get in the playoffs and see some of these premier quarterbacks and find themselves in one of those types of games. Like, I don't think that in the postseason that them against the Bills would be a good matchup for the Ravens, like one of those type of games.
What about the Chiefs? I mean, I'm not saying the Chiefs against the Ravens. I agree. I think the Chiefs would be a bad matchup for them in the playoffs as well. How much are you a buyer of the Chiefs?
Well, I'll tell you what. I'm buying Chris Jones playing inside and being a menace. They finally got him back where he belongs, and he's very disruptive in there. I think the defense, you can't argue with how much better they've played. I still don't think this offense is clicking anywhere near it was, where it used to be. They had kind of that one explosive game, and that's been it. So they're still figuring things out there. I think the roster construction is just kind of different. I think they're built to run up front on the offensive line, and they want to chuck it. It's kind of a weird combo there. So I don't think they're right offensively, but I do think the defense is improving, and they've hung in there to the fact that they're stinking in first place after they haven't played well most of the year, that they've got a chance to still figure it out. But I don't think they have it figured out right now.
In terms of the college football landscape, right?
Yep.
This is what I've been told by GMs and player personnel people. Is like, look, obviously SC, the temperature, the style, the finesse, but the biggest change is, you go back to when Pete was there and they were rolling, they're too deep on the lines. We're all guys that would play professionally. Now you're talking about one guy on both lines combined. Yeah. How hard is that to fix? Because there's plenty of skill position players in California. The O-line, how hard, and the D-line, in terms of depth of talent, how hard is that to fix?
Well, I would say before the transfer portal, you know, this is going to take 2-3 years. I think that kind of changes things. Like, you know what I would be doing, Doug, is that I would be looking at all of, like, the top offensive linemen that are playing at the, you know, what is it, FCS level, and just try and find those guys. Look at the NFL draft over the last couple years. There's guys from Northern Iowa. There's guys from all these, you know, kind of mid-tier college football programs who have developed these guys into really, really good players. If I were USC, I'd be go trying to cherry pick and bring in 3 or 4 of those types of players that could bring some kind of grit and toughness and kind of change your offensive line overnight. Defensive line-wise, I think you can they'll be able to go recruit. They'll find some defensive linemen in California, but their brand will travel. When they're rolling, they'll be able to go get the Leonard Williams out of Florida like they've done in the past.
You mentioned Baker Mayfield and how he's playing hurt. He's losing guys in that locker room by the week. I grant you he's playing hurt. I grant you that they haven't had their full allotment of players. Can he win the locker room back?
Well, Gilbert, before I answer that question, let me ask you this one. If you're Baker Mayfield's agent, what would you advise him to do?
Say nothing. Go play. But he won't do it. He won't do it.
Yeah.
So he's either getting bad advice or not taking anybody's advice.
My point I would kind of make is I think if I was his agent, I would have a real serious conversation of, dude, shut it down. Like, if this is where
not playing,
and this is what it gives you, I would say shut it down. Like, you are not helping the team, and you sure as heck are not helping yourself right now.
But shouldn't it have been, I mean, like, again, you can't go back, but shouldn't they have done that like 3 weeks ago and let Case do it and get back healthy? Because now if you shut it down, now you're looking like you're running from something.
Yeah, I would. That's what I would have done. You know, I look, it's easy to say, like, this isn't revisionist history, but as beat up as he was, just to say, hey, you know, we've had a quality backup who's familiar with this system. Let's buy you a month, man. Like, just take a month and get as healthy as you can. I know the shoulder is what it is. That's not going to be fixed until you get surgery, but let the rest of your body kind of heal up. We'll get that rehab and get it as strong as we can, and we're going to hang in this race without you, and then we'll be ready to make the stretch run. But he just looks like a wounded animal out there right now. It's not good.
Daniel Jones looks like he's going to miss the game with a neck, but he may be available for emergency or whatever. Did your evaluation of him change based upon what they were able to do last week?
Not really. I mean, he's just got to find a way to kind of limit those, you know, three or four plays a game where he's, you know, holding on to the ball and taking bad sacks, you know, some of those things. I hate the offense that they're in. I don't think they have I don't think the group around him is very well coordinated. I know they made the change there at the coordinator position. So he was better last week. But you run around like that, you ask him to run around like that, this is what you're going to have. You're going to be missing games. So just because a guy's athletic doesn't necessarily mean he should be doing all that stuff. I think they have to dial that back.
The Rams continue to underwhelm, and there's a lot of the knives are coming out with Stafford. You've seen the tape. You've broken it down. What's wrong with the Rams offense?
Well, Stafford's not seeing the field. He's gotten a little bit big play happy. He's got options underneath. He's not taking the pick six. He's on a three-hitch throw on that one. You lock on in the NFL, you get three hitches. That going the other way every single time. He knows that. So he's got to clean up some of that stuff. But really, I think it's just not being greedy, taking what's there. I think it's kind of the combination of McVay, you know, excited about having this big arm quarterback that he hasn't had, and try and dial up a bunch of chunk plays, which are great, but you don't make the cake out of chunk plays. Chunk plays are the sprinkles on top, man. Like, those got to be a little bit few and far between, and then they got to be surrounded by a bunch of easy layups, and he hasn't been doing that.
Yeah, it's similar to the Chiefs deal, right? Which is just like single, and you look at the Patriots, and by the way, here's this weird. Did you see this where Daniel Jones has the highest yards per attempt in the last month? Like, that's weird. But generally what they do is just take what the defense gives you.
Yep. Yep. Absolutely. They'll let those shots organically kind of present themselves. You can't force it.
DJ, great stuff, man. I hope you had a great Thanksgiving. Ready to have a big holiday season. Thanks for joining us.
Appreciate you, man. I wish it would get a little bit cooler, though. It's too hot for December.
Yeah, I know. It's tough. I having to put on suntan lotion every time I walk outside is really troubling. You know the Cowherd line, right? You ever heard the Cowherd line on if this is global warming, I'm going to leave my car running in the driveway. I love the weather. You know, it's a good
all
line.
Buddy.
See DJ Daniel Jeremiah joining us from the NFL Network. Real credit card questions require real people. Someone who understands your issues and works to resolve them with you. That's why Discover offers helpful U.S.-based representatives available 24/7. Discover, exceptionally common sense. Big Ben compared, losing games to chewing gum. Yeah, we'll see if that parallel works next. But first, to stay on top of your game, you got to look and feel your best. That's why I got to tell you guys about M-Drive, the supplement for driven men. M-Drive is a supplement for every guy, no matter where you're at in life. Try M-Drive Lean, powerful protein powder for driven men who want to shed extra pounds and look good and perform their best. No matter their age, M-Drive Lean is formulated with Morisil, a clinically tested blood orange extract that supports reduction in weight, waist size, and body mass. Visit mdriveformen.com to get free shipping, a 60-day money-back guarantee. You have nothing to lose. Aging can make it tough to lose weight. Go to mdriveformen.com, shed those extra pounds. With mDrive Lean, you can perform at your best every day. Lose weight, get lean, drink your mDrive. Want to feel your best? Want help losing weight? Then drink your mDrive. Go to mdriveformen.com and try it for yourself. Don't let age beat you. Visit mdriveformen.com. That's mdriveformen.com. One more time. MDrive Lean at mdriveformen.com.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific.
Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. Chase Stu, are you a gum guy?
I'm not. I'm more of a mint guy. And I'm certainly not a bubble gum guy.
That's interesting. What about you, Byer? You a gum guy?
Not so much, no.
Okay. What about you, Ramos? Are you a gum guy?
Yes. I loved Bubblicious growing up. I loved Wrigley Spearmint Gum. I loved, Big League Chew. All of them. Yep.
Huh. Okay. I am a gum guy. I do like, I'm big on Orbitz. I like the blue and the green one. We established this one is peppermint. But the old Hubba Bubba, right? That's the classic bubble gum.
Love that
I like
one.
Grape.
Yes.
Grape's amazing. And grape gum and grape candy taste nothing like actual grapes, but doesn't stop it from being awesome.
That's
yeah,
true.
I love grape stuff as well.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, a big pack of Big League Chew, just stick it in your craw. But problem with Big League Chew is whatever they do, it just becomes goo once you start chewing it. Whereas Hubba Bubba, it's still kind of solid. It's classic like chewing gum feel. And then you just wear it out. Eventually you go Pete Carroll on it and you just wear it out.
Right? I like to take Big League Chew and stick it like the tobacco. I know that's wrong, but that's when we were younger.
No, that's what everybody does. It's not wrong.
Just a pinch between your cheek and gums.
But it's not wrong. It's not tobacco.
No, it's not. But that's what you want it to be when you, because the big league guys would do it. So you put it
in with sunflower seeds too, right?
Yep.
Same deal. Check out the latest lines from sports. World of Sports is Bet Rivers Sportsbook. Bet Rivers is the trusted name in online sports betting. You must be 21. Present in Colorado, Illinois, Indiana, or Pennsylvania. To play a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. I mentioned chewing gum because this is Big Ben Roethlisberger talking about the beatdown they took from the Bengals for a second time this year.
You know what? Someone once said, games like this are like bubble gum. You chew them for a little bit and you spit them out. That's kind of what it's doing, so moving on. I have no comments about last week because it's got bubble gum that's been spit out.
Okay. Okay, Ben. It's bubble gum that you want to spit out. I mean, it's not wrong, I guess, but still similarly kind of, it's an interesting analogy. I do think you have to learn from it, right? You definitely have to learn from it and evolve from it and improve with it. But that's an interesting one. That's an interesting analogy.
And he is right. Like, you know, bubble gum, typically all the flavors like in the first 10 seconds. So just to kind of like let it to keep chewing bubble gum, it gets worse and worse, right, by time. And the mint gum and whatnot, I think, is made to stay a little bit longer. But he's kind of true about the bubble gum. Like, spit it out as soon as the flavor runs out.
And I agree with that.
By the way, Doug, I was down in your neighborhood. I used to live down there. And I threw my bubble gum outside my car window once. My kid was in the back seat. And I got pulled over, and I got a ticket for it.
Why would you throw your gum out your window?
First of all, I didn't know it was against the law until I got a ticket for it.
What do you mean you didn't know it was against the law? You didn't know it's against the law to litter?
I thought it was a biodegradable entity. I don't know.
Bubblegum is not biodegradable. It sounds like a banana or banana peel or orange peel. I side with the Newport Beach Police Department in this particular case.
I once threw mercury out the window, Doug, and thought it was just biodegradable.
I once threw caution in the wind. Byer, how do you feel about our litter bug, Jason Stewart?
I do look at him a little bit differently now.
Man.
The lack of regard for the OC's finest streets is really, really appalling.
I agree.
In fact, I completely agree. Yeah, now he's up in my neck of the woods, and I'm not sure that we want him up there with his gum-tossing ways.
His gum-tossing.
We don't do that in Santa Clarita.
You don't do that in Santa Clarita unless you want a good old-fashioned ass-whooping, right? Thank you, Dan. Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. Do you buy Brian Kelly's, hey, things get leaked, I was out on the road, buyer? Do you think there's a, could handle it better?
I'm a lot on the side of your stuff with timing. I don't think that there is any good time to do it. I don't, you know, you do it 2 weeks down the line, as you said, when there's an early signing period. You're going to do it after that? What, do you want to do it after a spring game? Like what, you know, there is no great time to do it. So
there's a bedside manner that it does require that he clearly doesn't have, right? I mean, that's pretty obvious. And I was a defender of Brian Kelly when they had the 4-win season. I do under, like, the scissor lift tragedy is awful. I mean, just awful. And obviously he carried that with him for a long time, and there are always going to be people that look negatively towards
still,
him.
Yeah.
Right. But I'm like, look, I'm also being honest and saying, like, look, that dude does not have good bedside manner. He just doesn't.
Correct.
Like that. That's not a doctor who I want coming in telling me I got bad news for you, because he just doesn't. Because, like, all the words he said were great. The way he said them to the players, you know, like, I don't. Is it that hard to just, like, sit down, like, on the top of a podium and go, look, fellas, I mean, this is really hard. Like, you know, you guys don't know how to make here, but. I mean, I'm guessing he makes in the fives, you know, maybe six. And, you know, I'm sure he said they got the offer of $95 million plus all the incentives, and they went to Jack Swarbrick, and he's like, yeah, we're not going to engage in that. I'm like, oh, okay. You know, that's usually as far as it goes. So, like, guys, like, look, there's a difference between the difference of a couple hundred thousand dollars here, a couple hundred thousand dollars there. When you're talking $3+ million per year. I'm 60 years old. Like, you know, I mean, like, there's a smart business decision. I hate this time. Like, there's just a way of being warmer, more genuine. And I think that's what was missing. Even if I don't blame him for the timing, I don't blame him for how short a conversation was. Like, all of these things, like, the more you talk about it, the more you're going to talk in circles. And I've told people this before. Like, I don't think Notre Dame wanted him to spend a ton of time one-on-one with players, because the idea is you're going to be stealing players from him. But there is a lack of bedside manner there.
Yes, I agree. I thought a little more than the 2 or 11 minutes or whatever it ended up being would be something a little more. I mean, LSU was on a full barrage of social media yesterday, and there were obviously a lot of commitments that they had for the head coach, which maybe explains the 7 a.m. meeting, which that was the part to me, like, I know you're leaving, but do I got to wake up early and come to a meeting just to be, you know, told I'm getting dumped? But
Yes, you do. Okay, let me pitch it to you another way. My guess is
it was more of a joke.
I know, but people, and everybody's like, did he at least bring donuts? Like, you got me up early just to tell me. But again, the reality is, my guess, none of those guys have 7 a.m. classes. Probably plenty of them have 8 a.m. classes.
Yeah.
Right. Like, or 8 a.m. commitments.
Sure. Or you're lifting, you know, and they're there doing something. Maybe.
Yes. So yes. It's not. I don't think it's a defining moment of who you are, but it can be. It can be. And how you end a relationship, you know, your ability to relate to guys, to speak to the realities of it, to be a like a fatherly, warm type of figure, like those type of things. But, like, look, man, I played for two very different coaches in college. When I was at Notre Dame, John McLeod was my coach. We went to his house one time at the start of the year, and it was catered. And I thought that was weird. It was really nice. But I don't remember actually going into his house. Right? Like, oh, I was a kid. Here's my kid. Like, I don't remember. I remember it was right when we got to school. So it was August. It was very hot, but it was at the end of the day. So it was nice starting to get cool. Maybe it was in September. I don't remember. But I remember, like, going to his house, and I just remember being catered. And I was like, it feels a little stiff, you know? And that was generally who he was. Like, he wasn't great with bedside manner. He was just very, very nice and cordial and sincere, but not warm. Coach Sutton was warm, but could be very terse at times. But, like, I'm not going to sit here and act like, you know, he had some long speech for us that you know, rivals that you see in movies. The guys aren't like that. And, oh, yeah, by the way, just so we're aware, if it was 2 minutes, like, that's about most guys' attention span anyway. Right? You ever sat, somebody's going to talk to you for 30 minutes, like, hey, wrap this thing up. Let's go.
Sure. I think there are other factors as well of if he was your coach, if you were a senior, you're likely moving on. I would hope that maybe that relationship you'd still want to keep with your college coach. There's also, Doug, let's be honest, the percentage of players probably in that room that are glad that he's gone.
Sure.
Maybe they weren't playing enough, or maybe they just weren't getting
just didn't like him.
Yeah, that could be, you know, so it's not entirely of every kid is, you know, sitting there heartbroken.
Correct.
Some of these as motivation, but
there's 85 scholarship kids, right? Let's say 20 are seniors. They ain't gonna play. They're only pissed like, dude, does this screw up our playoff thing? But otherwise, like, sure. I'm gonna get a job too, right? There's probably 20 that are there's probably a good portion of those seniors that are happy to see him go. Like, they didn't like the guy anyway. There's 20 freshmen, 15 freshmen that they ain't played anyway, right? And the rest of the guys are like, okay, well, let's see who comes in to see if I still want to stay here.
Yeah.
So there's a lot going on there. A lot going on there.
I also think that he kind of started to lay the groundwork. Do you remember, like, during the season, and he may have been speaking with ESPN, I can't remember where it was, but he made a passing comment that Marcus Freeman was going to be the next head coach at Notre Dame. And it was kind of out of nowhere, and I'm not sure if they were what the conversation was about, but he alluded to that of that, you know, Marcus Freeman would be the next head coach, which was interesting considering it was Freeman's first year there, but that he was looking that far ahead, and you're like, oh wow, this is how Brian Kelly's looking. And now I'm sitting there saying to myself, was he thinking about leaving all the way back then when he was starting to plant seeds of his dismissal? That, I mean, I don't think we all thought that it just transpired over the weekend that he had thought about leaving. This may have been months in the works for Brian Kelly.
Well, remember, it would be interesting because Freeman came from Cincinnati, and the name that everybody's mm-hmm. talking about is Luke Fickell. It was like, why should we do Luke Fickell? We can just do Marcus Freeman, who did the defense for Cincinnati, does defense for Notre Dame, really well-respected, young guy who, you know, got great energy. They can probably get, you know, on the cheap. They don't have to pay a buyout, right?
Sure. Like,
they got $4.5 million buyout. They don't have to pay a buyout. You know, you just bump up his salary, bump up everybody else's salary, say, hey, man, here's a salary bill. Go out and get some dudes. Let's go.
It's interesting. I remember Marcus Freeman as a player at Ohio State to think, and this is not that long ago. It tells you how young that he is. But it's also to have a guy who has never been a head coach to take over the Notre Dame job. That's something else. Brian Kelly had even said, and I think in a piece of what, you know, like how he set up Notre Dame, was that he had about, you know, 19, 20 years of head coaching experience that allowed him to be able to understand the task of what it's like coaching at Notre Dame. But when you see the success of Lincoln Riley that he had at Oklahoma, what Ryan Day had at Ohio State, it isn't necessary to have that, you know, previous stop nowadays in college football, it seems.
Marcus has 6 kids, by the way.
Does he?
6, yeah.
Yeah, he was a linebacker for the Buckeyes.
Yeah, I met his wife, I believe, at school too. His wife's Joanna. But really, I mean, that's a dude that's got his stuff together. And I do think, like, you know, people make a deal about him being black and that's why he should get an opportunity. Like, I also think there's just an idea of, like, do we really need to keep hiring 60-year-old dudes for these jobs?
Yeah, I know.
Right?
Right.
Like, he played. He clearly can coach. The guys like him. He can obviously recruit. Like, yes, there are things you're going to have to learn what he has above somebody else who has head coaching experience is he has Notre Dame experience, right? And that's something with that equity within that locker room is something that I don't think anybody can gain until they've been through it for a couple of years. And he hasn't been there. He's only been there a year, right? But he has the equity in that locker room. So I'm with you. I like the idea of, like, do we really need a retread? Do we need to hire somebody? Like, Luke Fickell sounds like he's a great guy and a great coach. He's got a good gig. He's going to get a raise. If Ryan Day ever leaves for the NFL, he'll be the next head coach. Maybe he'll go back to Ohio State after having that 1 year interim tag. Maybe he won't. But if you have Marcus Freeman and he did a good job at Cincinnati, why do you have to have a Cincinnati coach pay their buyout when you got a guy right there? I don't know. Maybe I'm underthinking it. LeBron James isn't the only NBA All-Star that'll be missing time in the Western Conference. We'll detail that next.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
So what we're going to do here over the next couple weeks, and I haven't talked to Jason Stewart about it, we're going to do, you know, the best holiday movies, but we're also going to do like mini segments on gifts. Okay, so this is your homework assignment for the weekend. I know it's not the weekend yet, but figure out, Ramos,
okay,
Buyer, J. Stu, one area of expertise. Like, I'll give you an example. I'm an expert on headphones. So if you're looking at headphones, next week we'll all kick around, like, if you know, $100 level, $200 level, $300 level, what you would buy some of these headphones. I'm still trying to figure out. I got all my friends are like, how do we get a PS5 or an Xbox X or S for like a reasonable price? Because they're not available anywhere. You literally can't get them except for like, you got to like Craigslist and hope that you don't get shaken down on that deal. Buyer, do you have an area of expertise in terms of gifts, TVs, women's gifts, men's gifts?
I got to be honest, not so much. I try. Buyer, I really try to, you know, surprise my wife with things, but I don't know if there's an expertise in where I would be able to. Maybe in mini helmets, you know, NFL mini helmets, I could tell you what would be a good price or not.
Jay Stu, how about you?
I honestly, giving gifts is so hard for me. I have to put so much thought into things. The thing that I know most about, I guess, would be like a music or movies, right? Mm-hmm. So giving those are pretty easy. I just don't know how you give those anymore.
DVDs, good. That segment will work in 2001. No, I'm kidding.
What about you, Ramos?
Mine would be diamond rings. No, actually, I think I'm really good at like audio equipment, like, okay, you know, like receivers or turntables, things like that. Because, you know, records or vinyl are back in again.
Wicka, 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 wicka,
yeah,
wicka.
Yeah, there you go.
Wicka, 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 wicka. Sorry, let's get to the press.
The press.
Stand by, what do you got?
Doug, we start out with news from the college football playoff, and that news is there is no news. Management committee met again today. No decision on whether to expand the playoff. We had heard that a decision would need to be made by the end of the new year.
Right.
Well, apparently the committee is going to meet next month. The possibility of still starting a playoff early is still there, and also at the end of the 2025-26 season, also still the possibility.
10.
So it's really no news when it comes to the college football playoff, except it seems that they all do want to expand to 12 schools.
That's pretty cool.
Hmm. Yeah, but it's not done yet.
Correct, yeah.
And they can't get it done until the TV contract expires or until it gets reworked, and then you got to figure out how that's all going to look.
Okay.
Miami Heat and Chicago Bulls were each docked a second-round pick today for contacting free agents prior to the start of the free agency period. By the way, they both landed those free agents. Bulls were busted on their work with Lonzo Ball. Heat on their work with Kyle Lowry.
Hmm.
So they got a lighter punishment than the Bucks did for the Bogdan Bogdanovic deal with the Kings. And then the Bucks didn't even get Bogdanovic as part of the deal. Just,
it's like a nightmare.
Yeah. So the Miami Heat and Chicago Bulls get off a bit light. Suns guard Devin Booker is going to miss a few games with a hamstring strain, Doug, and Damian Lillard going to miss at least 10 days, as the Blazers said that their all-star guard is dealing with an ab injury.
Can't get right.
Can't get right. Can't get right. They've had so many injuries, you know, and issues as well. That's really the story of the NFL season, but also the first half of the NBA season, mm-hmm, is health. You know what's interesting? LeBron James is the most famous athlete in America, correct?
Yeah, well, yeah, I'd say so.
We just did a 3-hour radio show. Did we mention the fact he's got COVID?
No, we did not.
It's crazy, right?
Yeah.
Struggling.
He did tweet something today that said basically that something was fishy. So I don't know if he had a false positive or something, but there were a lot of fish emojis when it came to LeBron James. I don't know what that all means. Maybe he's going fishing while he's out on. Just don't get close to him in the boat. If you're out on what lake? Where could he go? Pyramid Lake up on the Grapevine. Maybe go fishing there. Just don't get close. Free agent running back Adrian Peterson, a free agent no more. signed by the Seahawks today to their practice squad.
Why?
I think he's just trying to move on up the rushing title. That would be the only reason.
He's not good.
I know.
Can't play anymore.
Every yard counts.
No.
Also tells you how bad the Seahawks offense has been, including their running game.
Sure.
That they're bringing him in. That would be the press.
Hey, get out there and press.
That was the press.
Doug Gottlieb show here on Fox Sports. Right, we didn't mention the fact that Ohio State came from behind to beat Duke, or that Paolo Banchero, he loses 7 pounds of sweat. I've actually heard that is true, that they bring two jerseys because he's a big sweater. He's a big sweater, right? Big, big, big sweater. Got some more hoop games tonight. I'll give you some picks. You got to find those on Twitter, at Gottlieb Show. NFL picks tomorrow as we got Thursday NFL game. Get you ready for championship Saturday. It's Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio.